From the Land to Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of May, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. In Chicago today, corn and wheat futures ended narrowly mixed. Soybeans were up just about 4 cents. We'll have more in a moment from Matt Bennett at agmarket.net.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Matt Bennett from agmarket.net is now here to take a look at the marketplace. Hello, Matt. Thanks for being with us. I know you're not in the field today. I do want to know if you managed to get in the field again. After we talked last week, you were having some issues and had only been in a couple of times. Did you get all your corn planted?
You know, we got all the corn planted and finished up late last week. And then, we ended up with basically being able to be almost done. I mean, we were very close to getting done, but we just couldn't get our last farm to dry out that we were going for with beans, and could have planted it right in front of that rain after we got it worked, you know, and pretty much ready to go. It's just too heavy, and then we had an inch and a half of rain, so I'm kind of glad we didn't do it.
But you're behind, for you particularly, and your part of the world. To the south of you and in other directions, are farmers still struggling to get the rest of the crops in?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we've got guys in Ohio that haven't hardly turned a wheel. Some guys in southern Illinois have also struggled, parts of Indiana. So there was a pretty big area in that, you would call it like south corn belt. That's just really had a rough time this year. Forecast still looks like it might be a little bit wet. And so, you know, you got to ask yourself at what point, you know, is that becoming into the market? And, you know, I think the market right now is pretty comfortable just simply due to the fact that Pargas has been so good. So, if we're sitting here talking about it in 2 weeks, so I think it could get a little more serious.
Yeah, this is the part where it begins to get interesting with the crop progress reports, because they are intent on what will be planted. And as soon as a farmer makes a decision, or whoever's looking at it has decided the farmer made a decision to do prevent plant or not to put the crop in the ground, then that drops out. Crop progress numbers continue to go up, but so it's very difficult to tell. I don't quite recall when all the prevent plant dates will be for corn and soybeans in those regions. Corn much earlier than soybeans, of course, but we'll have to keep track of that. And the marketplace will have a difficult time with it as well. How long do you think it will take, if these acres actually don't get planted, for the market to recognize it?
Yeah, I think ultimately, if you stay this wet, there's no doubt in my mind that the market's going to pay attention to it probably in the next 2 weeks. So if you get close to June, you know, and you're still in this wet pattern, to me, you're probably going to see some folks start to raise eyebrows, because obviously, you know, when you look at the balance sheet from the USDA, 1.8 billion bushel doesn't look too bad. But I mean, that's assuming all the acres get planted. That's assuming a 181 yield. And so you could probably assume the yield easier than you could the acres as we sit here today. But at the same time, 181 is a big ask. I know the genetics are capable, but we've certainly had a hard time being able to kind of punch up there. So I do think in the next 2 weeks, you'll be paying attention to it if this weather pattern holds.
Because southern Illinois, southern Indiana, parts of Ohio are not on the best of yield range, will it have an impact on yield, even if they get planted, or very much of one?
You know, if they get planted, I mean, there's no doubt that it's going to be late enough that you could have some issues as far as that being even a tougher crop, you know, to expect big yields out of. So there's no doubt your fringe areas are always going to impact yield to an extent, but you have to remember, and I wouldn't call parts of Ohio fringe. I mean, there's a lot of good production that comes out of Ohio, but one thing to consider overall, yeah, it might not have a huge impact on yield, but that's the part of the world that needs the corn the worst right now. There's no doubt with the Southeast having a drought last year and parts of the Southeastern Corn Belt, you know, basis has been awfully hot. I mean, we know of places in Indiana that are currently bidding 50 over on corn, Southeastern Indiana. I mean, bottom line is you've got a real need out there. So if you don't raise a crop on top of that, you know, it can have pretty big basis implications that might be far reaching.
So that would be in the local area, but broadly across the futures markets, how much of an impact do you suppose?
Well, I mean, clearly the futures markets have not paid attention to what we normally do with the fundamental type discussion. 1.415, that's awfully tight. You look at basis. Basis just continues to improve. Market really hasn't paid a lot of attention to it. Now, today is the first time in a long time that we've seen some bull spreading here. And you've got to think, whenever you start looking at some of the basis levels that continue to firm, if you will, you've got to think maybe some of these guys are going to step back in and maybe buy some corn. I mean, clearly the funds have been big sellers. Are they going to continue that in the face of what we're looking at right now? And I think maybe the easier answer is that they probably won't. I mean, you continue to see this really strong demand. Exports definitely look like they need to be adjusted higher once again, maybe 50, maybe more. And so, you know, you're probably going to tighten up that carryout even more. So what that would do is it would put you in a position where maybe these people would want to bull spread corn in a major way with any sort of weather. You know, I don't know if that happens by the time July goes off the board is the thing. Timing is going to be very interesting here, but I do think there'll be a time in this summer, if you have weather issues, you'll see your front month contract rally sharply versus the deferred. So it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out.
So if you have gambling stocks and you're in parts of Indiana, Ohio, maybe southern Illinois, worth holding on to for old crop, how quickly does that back up in the basis as it reflects something more central Illinois-based?
Well, I think that it'll continue to work its way. That's the thing. It'll continue to work its way to the west to an extent. I don't think you'll see real hot basis levels, for instance, in our part of the world until some of these bushels that were bought in a major way earlier in the year end up getting, drying up, so to speak. So I do think that the biggest time for, to pay attention to would be mid-July into August. Some of these end users were very well covered out to summer time frame, but I don't think they've got much coverage in August. So, some of these crops going in the ground late in some of the areas, once again, the basis is strong. And so that could provide some really big basis implications that would rapidly advance away from where they need the corn the most. So to me, you're probably looking at being several weeks away from that getting to be a super interesting discussion, barring weather issues. So if you do end up drying back out in the west, and most of these long range models continue to point towards summer drought in the west, if that would come to pass and you start getting really hot and dry in June, I think the market's going to pay very close attention.
Yeah, just so points of clarification as we talk through old and new crop and basis here, we're talking mostly about moving corn out into the southeast to feed the livestock sections, poultry and pork in the Carolinas that would come out of Ohio, parts of Indiana, even some of Illinois as well. And because that is a pull out of the old crop stocks, futures and basis there, or the price difference between corn, cash price and futures prices would jump, could have an impact on new crop basis as well, mostly because the planting is delayed for corn. Now, for soybeans, it's a slightly different story, I suppose, maybe because that crop can be planted later and do fairly well. What's your outlook and assessment of it?
Yeah, I mean, with soybeans, the thing is regionally speaking, you've got some really strong basis levels. I mean, shoot, basis narrowed again here this week in central Illinois. Basis has been, in all honesty, pretty strong for beans. The thing is, though, of course, a lot of growers sell their beans up front. A lot of growers don't store beans. And so sometimes, especially whenever stocks start tightening, which we saw them tighten here in May, you can get some pretty interesting basis discussions. So I think moving forward, if I had gambling stocks on beans as well, I'd probably be patient, because if you get some weather to unfold, Todd, those could be awfully good property. Now, if I had a lot of beans, I'd be paying attention to the fact beans have been fairly strong here lately, dole a few of them out. But gambling stocks, I think I'd probably hold on to them.
Now, if there wasn't a lot of weather to push this along, are you a seller of new crop on these pushes higher, especially if it's basis only?
You know, as far as new crop sales, I don't want to do much until we get closer to that 470 spring insurance price. I mean, over the last 20 years, we've revisited that every time that we've come out, of the month of February with a lower average. We got close to it here in April, 469.5, but we didn't get to it. So I've got to think the law of averages tells me, especially with some of the weather abnormalities, especially with the fact this market really has no weather premium at all, I'm probably going to be a little more patient for the time being. Now, a disclaimer, I've got some corn sold already. You know, we've got a decent percentage there. And, overall, I've got to think that, if I didn't have any corn sold at all, yeah, I'd probably be tempted to step in, but I really don't want to lock in a loss. And I know a lot of growers, in this 453 level that we settled at today are probably not looking at profitable sales.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. In today's agricultural news, the MAHA, or Make America Healthy Again report, was released today. The Trump administration, according to a press release from USDA, says the report, quote, is a call to evaluate the many reasons American families, particularly children, face high rates of chronic health issues, and it encourages additional research and education on diet, environmental exposures, lack of physical activity, and over-medicalization. USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins says she looks forward to continuing to work with Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and other members of the MAHA Commission to improve the nation's health. Kennedy, for his part Tuesday, inferred during a Senate committee hearing the report in the drafts he had seen did not mention the chemical glyphosate commonly known as Roundup. It does on page 42, and atrazine as well, both under heading titled Crop Production Tools, including Pesticides, Herbicides, and Insecticides, where it says some studies have raised concerns about possible links between some of these products and adverse health outcomes. The report cites a selection of research studies on glyphosate and a range of possible human health effects. It also points to animal studies related to the herbicide atrazine, noting common exposures to pesticides, including from lawn care, farming, and pesticide residues. However, the report in that same heading notes, quote, a large-scale FDA study of pesticide residues found the majority of samples, more than 90%, were compliant with the federal standards, and that more recent data from USDA's pesticide data program found 99% of food samples tested in 2023 were compliant with the EPA's safety limits. A new national survey commissioned by CropLife America, which advocates on behalf of pesticide manufacturers, shows strong trust in American farmers and public recognition of the benefits pesticides provide in making food available and affordable. The MAHA report may undermine that trust. Let's stay with farm chemicals, but we'll move now to the state of Illinois. A bill is making its way through the Illinois General Assembly that will impact agricultural pesticide application licenses. If enacted, SB 783 would update the current system, which requires pesticide applicators to be tested every 3 years, to testing once and requiring 15 hours of continuing education over a repeating 3-year period to maintain the license. Kevin Johnson of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association says if at the end of any 3-year period the continuing education requirement is not met, then retesting for the pesticide applicator's license would be required.
So right now, how it stands, you would have to take 15 hours over those 3 years. If you only take 13 or 14 hours before that 3-year license up, you would have to retest.
The pesticide applicator legislation passed out of the Illinois Senate yesterday on a 50-4 vote. It now moves to the Illinois House Ag Committee. If passed out of committee, the bill would move to the floor for a full vote before the Illinois General Assembly's May 31 spring legislative deadline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Mike Tenura is here. He's the president and CEO of T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Thank you, Mike, for taking some time with me. It's been a busy spring. Some places have been wet. Some places have been dry. Let's start, I think, today just with a broad forecast for the Corn Belt.
Yeah, well, we basically have rains that are coming up to southern growing areas over the next week. We're looking for heavy totals in the Mid-South. 1.5 to 3 inches of rain is on the way. Some of that rain could reach as far north as southern Illinois, and that's kind of where we're watching for the next few days and even into next week. You know, how far north will that rain come? But basically, southern areas are going to receive quite a bit of rain. As we move into the central part of the central U.S., which includes most of the corn and soybean growing belt, so just think of everybody from Nebraska through Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. That whole region there is going to also receive some rain, but it looks like totals will be more in the moderate category, anywhere from 1/4 inch on the light side to maybe 3/4 inch or 1 inch on the high side. And then as you move north from there, the forecast is drier. Now, this is all happening because we have yet another large upper-level system that's approaching. This one is going to move across the central U.S., starting up tomorrow and Saturday, but more so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, including Memorial Day. And the exact track of that system is difficult to determine. We know it's going to move across the central U.S., so that part is pretty easy. The hard part, though, is if this system just moves a little bit further north, that'll bring more rain into corn and soybean areas. If it goes a little bit further south, then all of a sudden things will be looking a lot better, at least from a drying standpoint for northern areas, because there won't be much rain at all from I-80 on to the north. But we're still just a little bit too far out to have a huge amount of confidence in the exact setup. But again, wet south, kind of a mixed rainfall setup central, and then drier as you head to the north into the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Can I have you divide the forecast, and maybe the climate might be a better way to put this, up into crops for me and what you think has been happening to this point and how you see maybe it developing over time? I'm thinking corn, soybeans, and maybe spring wheat. Could you start with corn?
Yeah, let's start with corn. So the story with corn is that we have some pretty great planting opportunities here over the last few weeks. But the thing that's a little bit challenging is that corn planting is actually going to be a little bit behind normal for this time of the year. You know, a couple of days ago, we basically had around 80% of the crop planted. But just from looking at the lack of rain in many areas, you would think it would have been a lot higher than that, but it wasn't. On the other hand, soybeans were doing a lot better. You know, soybean planting is ahead of schedule. Well, now we're kind of in a situation where we really need to get this corn in because it's the end of May. If you start planting corn in June, you're really asking for some trouble with, you know, drier weather once you typically get into August and September, and also the frost risk starts to go up if you're planting that late once you get into the end of the year. So, you know, we need to focus on corn. The problem is that these rains are coming up for at least the southern areas, and even though that might not be exactly in the heart of the corn region, this is not an ideal setup. Ideally, right now, you'd have no rain and it would be super warm out. So we have some rain and it's actually super cool out. This is one of the cooler air masses that we've seen in May for a while. Now that cool air will eventually go away once we get about a week out from now, and then things will start to improve again. But Todd, look at the calendar. It's May 22nd. A week from now is May 29th. And only then are we starting to get back into a more normal temperature setup. So, you know, it's not a great story. I mean, the only way to really have things turn great is if that system we're talking about for next week were to shift a lot further to the south and then leave a big area dry. Now, the thing that really complicates this, though, Todd, is that if you look at the heart of the Corn Belt, there's still some areas of Illinois and Iowa, even Missouri and Nebraska, that need more rain. Over the last 30 days, some of these people have been kind of dry. So, you know, what do you want? Do you want the dry weather or do you want the wet weather? And that's why this time of the year is always a little bit tricky. So basically, it could be better for corn. The soybean story is similar, except that you really want to see dry weather, especially in the southern areas. You know, we've had a pretty wet spring in the Mid-South and even into parts of the southern Corn Belt, and that's where the rain chances are high going forward. One thing, Todd, we did not talk about is spring wheat. feel like spring wheat has been very wet in the Western Dakotas. Kind of this anomalous setup has happened over the last 10 days where it just keeps raining in the Western Dakotas. And that's turned basically about a third of that crop super wet with more than twice the normal rainfall over the last 30 days. That does not extend deep into the corn and soybean area of the Dakotas, though they're certainly wet, but they'll be drying out as we move forward, so that might negate that story a little bit. But it's a real mixed bag in the central U.S., as you can tell. And all these stories will start to come together with, you know, a little more of a foundation once we get 10 to 14 days from now.
Do you have an indication of what you think June might look like?
Well, at least the first part of it looks to be warmer, as we noted. High temperatures should be back into the 70s and 80s, maybe even some 90s in the Dakotas. So kind of similar to what we had a few weeks ago. Beyond that, the rainfall setup is a little tricky. There are some systems moving across, so we think there'll be some rain in some areas, maybe not a super wet setup. But once again, once we get into these southern areas, the rain chances look a little better. We have a chance for rain in Oklahoma, Texas, and again in the Mid-South from either an upper-level system that moves across the southern U.S. or from a quasi-tropical system that forms near Florida around June 1st. There's a few hints of that. Now, is this going to be a major hurricane or something like that? No, I mean, this is too early in the year for something like that. But between both of those events, the rain chances are, again, pretty high in the southern areas. And then as you move north, they're not as great.
One last question, and I won't hold you to this because we're still a few days out, but Sunday, the Indy 500 will be run in Indianapolis. What does the weather hold for the race drivers that day?
Well, more than likely, it should be a nice day. We will have cool temperatures, so it won't be one of these hot days that we see occasionally in the 90s or anything like that. It'll probably be in the 60s, so it'll be pretty pleasant out there from in that regard. There'll also be an east wind, and that east wind is more than likely going to just keep any of the rain that we've been talking about outside of Indiana until we get more into Monday than Sunday. So at this point in time, it looks pretty nice. It doesn't look like there'll be a major rain event. There will be rain approaching from the west, but we think that even in Illinois, the rain chances aren't even all that high on Sunday afternoon. So more than likely, Indiana is going to be protected from rain by the cool air mass that we're in. And they should be okay until they get into Monday when everybody will be waiting for a little bit of rain, I suppose.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing, Todd.
That's Mike Tenora. He's the president and CEO at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon for the 22nd day of May. We'll record our Commodity Week program this afternoon and post it to our website this evening. Our panelists this week will include Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions, Joe Jansen from the University of Illinois, agricultural economist, and Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing. Should be a great program. Again, that'll be up online this evening after 6 o'clock. You can hear it in its entirety tomorrow here on our home station, and many of these radio stations will also carry it over the weekend. Thanks for being with us here on the Closing Market Report. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a good day.